Well, we just changed our clocks last weekend, and I'm wondering if you got that car clock figured out yet. A growing number of scientists and other experts are urging the U.S. to abolish daylight savings time for good. Eric Herzog is a chronobiologist at the Washington University in St. Louis, and he joins us now. Welcome to the Roadhouse, Professor Eric Herzog.
Hi, Dave. How are you?
I'm doing well. Still in a bit of a social jet lag, though, and it's that time of year, Eric. You are a chronobiologist, and you head the Society for Research on Biological Rhythms. If you could just tell us a little bit about yourself and the society that you're in charge of.
Yeah, sure. So I'm a professor of biology and neuroscience at Washington University in St. Louis. I've been there for the past 20 years doing research on things like what wakes us up and what puts us to sleep. And I've been focused primarily on the cells in the brain that are responsible for daily rhythms in our physiology and behavior. And chronobiologists are people who study those daily rhythms. And they're prevalent in all living organisms, from single-celled organisms all the way up to people and plants and fungi. And the Society for Research on Biological Rhythms is an international society that brings those researchers, clinicians, and industry reps together to talk about the latest scientific findings. It's a society of about 700 people from a little over 50 countries.
Well, this certainly puts you then as the expert in the field of daylight savings time and standard time. And let's dive into this, Eric. And I'm going to start with why, because I am a boomer. I'm not sure why this is even in effect. Could you give a little history on daylight savings time?
Sure. So daylight saving time has been in and out of vogue since the First World War. The major motivation behind it originally was to try and save energy. And there are places in the world that have never had daylight saving time, mostly around the equator, where day length really doesn't change with time of year. But the idea was that during the winter months, when the days get shorter, maybe we could shift the work schedule around to make it so that people were using the available natural light more effectively. In practice, there really isn't a lot of evidence that daylight saving time saves energy. And the debate right now centers on two things. One, should we be switching back and forth in the spring and in the fall? So in the spring and the fall, we have places that are switching back and forth. And then if we're going to stop switching, the question is, should we be on permanent standard time or permanent daylight saving time? And just to jump ahead, the Society for Research on Biological Rhythms and the scientists behind it are advocating for an end to switching, and that, in fact, this could have been the last switch we ever experienced here in the United States. We could stay on permanent standard time. And the arguments primarily revolve around benefits to human health and safety.
That's right. And is it true, Eric, that there are certain states that don't participate in this change?
Yeah, for example, Arizona and Hawaii are on permanent standard time now. They've been on this for quite a while. And there have been places in Indiana, for example, that didn't observe the time change.
Boy, I can't imagine what that's like for train schedules. or flights, or even if you work in a border state. But so let's get back to the effects, Eric. Let's talk about this as a chronobiologist. You study these effects of time on the body, and what are some of the negative effects that have become pretty obvious with this switching every year?
Absolutely. So we're all comfortable with the idea that every night we go to sleep and every morning we wake up, and we live this rhythmic lifestyle that we feel like a different person in the morning than we do in the evening. And this is really based upon an intrinsic body clock that helps us synchronize our body's physiology and behavior to local time. So we get hungry when food's going to be available. We go to sleep at night when maybe it's easier to sleep and it's safer to sleep. The idea is this clock is really adaptive. It's helpful. for organisms on the planet to help them anticipate the challenges ahead that are imposed on us by living on a planet that rotates on its axis. So think of life as a plant as a really nice example, where during the day you need to be ready to photosynthesize, and at night you need to be prepared to starve for the many hours of darkness and still move those sugars around and keep yourself alive. So we live a feast and fast lifestyle, and these clocks allow us to anticipate those challenges. In animals, we think those clocks are running in our brain, in our liver, in our heart, in all kinds of different cells in our body. And 2 years ago, researchers in our field shared the Nobel Prize in medicine or physiology for their discoveries of the molecular basis for how these rhythms, these clocks run. And it's basically a genetic program where genes turn on and express themselves, and then their products feed back to turn off that gene's expression. And then the products go away, and then the repression goes away, and then the gene can be expressed again. And that takes about 24 hours to operate. So there's this intrinsic near 24-hour or circadian rhythm in all of our cells, in approximately every organism on the planet. And the idea is that clock is there to help you anticipate when the sun will rise and when the sun will set. And if the days are getting longer or shorter, that clock is adjusting your behavior to the season. And when we talk about social jet lag, what we're really talking about is how we're starting to live by a clock, a social construct on the wall. So the idea is that these days we are scheduling our lives where we wake up with alarm clocks. We cross time zones and have to wake up in new time zones. And we work shift work where, we can even be compelling ourselves to wake up at times when we normally would be sleeping and trying to do something at work. And when our body clock is in disagreement with the local time, when we have jet lag, that can have real consequences on our health. So there's lots of correlative data on how shift work can lead to troubles with things like heart function, lung function, immune function. And in the case of things like daylight saving time, it's even a little bit trickier. We switch the clock on the wall, but the sunrise and the sunset don't really change. So we're asking ourselves to somehow adjust to the seasons with no real change in our environment, just a change with the clock on the wall. And so the challenge for people in the spring, when we spring forward, is we lose an hour of sleep, and we also need to advance our clock by an hour. It's sort of like flying east by one time zone. And that challenge has been correlated in multiple studies now with negative consequences. It can last for multiple days, like increases in heart attacks, increases in car accidents, and kids being late to school, people being less happy at work. In contrast, when we fall back, we get that extra hour of sleep. It's sort of like flying an hour west. And these people will talk about enjoying that extra hour of sleep. We actually do see some benefits, like a decrease in heart attacks, but those benefits seem to only last for about one day. It seems to be somehow related to the fact that it's easier for our body clocks to delay than advance. It's easier for us to fly west for most people than it is to fly east and synchronize to the new time zone.
Oh, yeah. Wouldn't it be great if we could just keep falling back, just keep going back in time.
Yeah.
It's like the opposite of aging.
My favorite question to ask teenagers is, if you could just wake up and go to sleep on your own schedule, if I were to take away your alarm clock, take away the sun, and just put you in a nice, quiet, dark room, do you think you'd wake up tomorrow? And most teenagers say no.
They love sleeping in.
I would sleep forever.
That's right. We're speaking with Professor Eric Herzog from Washington University in St. Louis. He's also the president of the Society for Research on Biological Rhythms, and some very compelling evidence and arguments here for doing away with daylight savings time. Although in the fall, we've kind of enjoying that extra hour right now, but it can sure wreak havoc in the spring, not only on us, but our pets and our, you know, there's other animals and creatures. I think of kids as being the most sensitive. I'm a parent myself, and this interruption to the feeding schedule and the waking schedule, what effect does that have on pets and owners?
You know, I don't know much about the effects on pets, but people report anecdotally how now that the people have switched their schedules, the pets are somehow supposed to know they're going to get their meal an hour later than they did before. And they laugh at how their dog is ready to go for a walk an hour early, and they're trying to get their dog to go back to bed.
That's right.
And, of course, that's just a social construct.
That's right, social time. And time is such a profound topic. Who's in charge of time? Who would make this change? Who would make the decision to get rid of daylight savings time?
Right. It's actually in the United States currently mandated. There's a federal mandate, an act that said that we can switch to daylight saving time, but if we want to stay on standard time, there's no need to change the law. But if we want to stay on permanent daylight saving time, we actually have to change the laws. And so right now in California, for example, there's a proposition in the state being put forward by Senator Compton Chu to keep the state on permanent daylight saving time. And I think the senator's well-intentioned in trying to eliminate the switch from switch between schedules. And originally, the senator put forward a permanent standard time bill, and that didn't pass. And my understanding is it was primarily a discussion amongst politicians and a little bit of lobbying from some of the industries like the tourist industry, which felt like maybe there's more shopping that can be done during daylight saving time when we have a little bit more daylight after work. And the scientists have now really mobilized, I would say, in trying to make the science about human health and safety better known, and advocating for, instead of permanent daylight saving time, permanent standard time. And to do that, we really don't need to change anything at all. We need to just stop switching. We'll stay now on standard time, and maybe this is the last time you'll ever have to switch.
But who specifically would make that proclamation? Is that something the president does?
So, no, it's not something that the president of the United States needs to get involved in. My understanding is that right now, if states want to stay on standard time, they can make that decision at their state congressional level. And if a state wants to switch to daylight saving time and stay on daylight saving time, they need to pass a bill, which would then actually not become law until the United States the Congress and Senate approved a national initiative to make permanent daylight saving time nationally. So,
okay.
So it would have to be a two-step process to go to permanent daylight saving time.
Well, it seems like it would work, at least for me. I'd vote for that. Now, and just, you know, we're running out of time, Eric, but we've tried this in the 70s, it looks like. We tried a period of permanent daylight savings time, and what happened there?
Yeah, a lot of people complain about daylight saving time being difficult on them, especially because if you think about how we synchronize to local time, humans are very heavily dependent on light from the sun to be synchronized to the local day-night schedule. So when you fly to a new time zone, you really need to think about getting light, and that'll help you alleviate your jet lag. And so during daylight saving time, many people are waking up in the dark and they're not getting the light that they need to help them stay synchronized to the local light dark schedule. And so it's hard for them. They need to use an alarm clock. So it's estimated somewhere around 80% of Americans are using alarm clocks to go to work. I like to say that that means we're waking up unnaturally. And if we could have a schedule where the clock said it's time to go to work and we're waking up in advance of that, then we don't really need alarm clocks. We're just waking up naturally and according to the normal local light-dark schedule. This is particularly profound for people on the western edges of time zones, where if you think about it, the sun rises in the east of a time zone earlier than it does in the west. So if we switch to daylight saving time, those folks in the west are going to be experiencing a particularly long, dark morning compared to when they're on standard time.
Wow. Time. So profound, Eric. Final question. How likely do you think the switch or the abolishment of daylight saving time to be? Is this realistic? Can we really pull this off?
I think it is realistic. I'm not good at predicting how this will go down in, for example, the state of California right now, where it's really been pretty hotly debated. There are a lot of interests in that are advocating for permanent standard time, but we haven't seen the politicians really engage in changing their position yet. So I would like to say that it's a very popular idea to stay on standard time when people have been polled across the United States. It's well above 70% of the people in the polls that say they want to stay on standard time. But there's always a few people who like daylight saving time. Those tend to be the extreme early birds, people who like to wake up really early. I think we'll just have to wait and see.
Time will tell.
Time will tell.
Well, Eric, thanks so much for your time here on The Roadhouse tonight. We've been speaking with Professor Eric Herzog from Washington University in St. Louis, a chronobiologist, and got some really good points on standard time, daylight savings time, and keep up the good work, Eric.
Thank you.